Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s.
Tony Michelle.
I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career.
Chris Frail.
Kyrie Irving.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Next star here at WEEI, that, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark. F.N. James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward.
I'm going to call him Brad Farrell. Because he's actually Don Farrell without a ring.
And I think one
exactly. So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Kyrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant from Lower Merion High School in Pennsylvania.
Kobe now isolated on Jarrett Jack for the lead. Yes!
Kicks it into Bynum. Back out Bryant. Shot clock at 7. Bryant leads, falling away. Puts it in! And the Lakers take a 1-point lead with 7.3 remaining. What a clutch shot once again from Kobe Bryant.
Now, the Lakers for the win. Kobe going up over Bell. Fall away. Yes! Yes! At the buzzer. He does it. Was there ever a doubt? Kobe wins it for the Lakers. They beat the Bucks in overtime. 107-106. And the best in the game. The best closer finisher.
With half a minute to play, Bryant for the lead! Yes! Kobe Bryant gives the Lakers the lead!
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer!
Banks it in! He banks in the three!
Walton can tip it. Bryant with the save.
Now he's got to go shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win!
The Lakers down one. Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant on the move with the jumper. He
by 58 points! And the Lakers lead! 60. Utah will go up the floor with Hayward. 13 seconds left. Hayward on the drive. Layup no good. Rebound gets in the hands of Kobe, throws it ahead to Clarkson, and Clarkson will dunk it. 4.1 to go, timeout Utah.
This has been absolutely beautiful, you guys. I can't believe it's come to an end. You guys will always be in my heart, and I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. God, I love you guys. And I love you guys, and to my family, my wife Vanessa, my daughters Natalia and Gianna, you know, thank you guys for all your sacrifice, you know, for all the hours I spent in the gym working and training, and Vanessa, you holding down the family the way that you have, I can't, there's no way that I could thank you enough for that, so yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, and what can I say? Mamba out.
How do you want to be remembered?
You know, I said a long time ago, when I was 15 years old, I made a promise to myself and said, at the end of my career, I want people to think of me as a talented overachiever. That I was blessed with talent, but that I worked as if I had none. And if I could remember that, then that would be pretty good.
All right, we'll all remember where we were when certain events happen in this century. Number one, 9/11. I think we'll all know where we were when that worst tragedy in American history happened back on September 11, 2001. You'll also remember where you were when the Patriots beat the greatest show on turf for their first Super Bowl title. You'll certainly remember where you were when the Red Sox beat the Cardinals in the 0-4 World Series after coming down to an 0-3 deficit in the American League Championship Series to the Yankees. Or maybe you remember them just beating the Yankees in Game 7 more than you even win the World Series, because that was doing the unthinkable. But yesterday, around 2:30, because myself and Andy Hart were on the air doing the NFL Sunday show until 2:30, and then as I'm off the air, my producer, who's producing tonight, Brian DeFelice, texted me. He said, look, this just broke. And I slid my phone, and I just saw the text. So I had to open it up, you know, put in my password. And I'm like, holy, you know what? Jesus. Yeah. And at that moment, I just was incredulous, startled, devastated, shocked. Any synonym or adjective you want to use. I never, ever thought that somebody in still, maybe not in the prime of his career, but certainly in the prime of his life at the age of 41, somebody who seemed like he was invincible and one of the greatest players in basketball history, Kobe Bryant, dying in a helicopter crash. And I knew it was true because, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, maybe TMZ got hacked. Maybe some. No. No, they were the ones who broke that Michael Jackson died in 2009. They are the ones who broke when Prince died years ago. They're right when it comes to deaths. And they get it first, and they get it right. And listen, I grew up here, and I used to follow, and I still do, I follow high school football and basketball recruiting religiously, but more so the basketball side back in the 90s. And I remember when he came out. You know, Kevin Garnett opened the floodgates coming out of Chicago Farragut Academy via Malden, South Carolina in 1995. And Kobe Bryant came out in 96. I believe it was also the same year as Jermaine O'Neal. I think Jermaine O'Neal came out that same year, if I'm not mistaken. But I remember the McDonald's game. And I remember how great he was and him taking Brandy to the prom. And I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't like Kobe Bryant. I didn't like him. The same reason I didn't like Tiger Woods. I felt as though there was something that the public wasn't seeing about both of these individuals. Well, I guess I was prescient, omniscient to say the least, because I was right. There obviously was something different. There was another side to both Tiger Woods and Kobe Bryant. Now, as the body is still warm, I'm not going to sit here and besmirch the dearly departed just over 36 hours after he perished. I'm not going to do that. Everybody, I don't care who it is, everybody has some sort of skeleton in their closet, some sort of thing that they wish didn't come to light. And we all know. And plus, you know, when you're born and raised in New England, especially in Massachusetts, as a masshole, the son of a diehard Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox fan, it's pretty incumbent upon you to hate anybody that wears the purple and gold. So I didn't like back in 1996 NBA draft night when Kobe Bryant got drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, and then he and his agent maneuvered an Eli deal, John Elway deal, because they didn't feel as though that Charlotte was a big enough market for them. So Jerry West engineered a deal, because everybody that summer, they knew they were getting Shaq. They knew Shaq was leaving Orlando and going to the Lakers. But it was like, what are they going to do in the draft? They still had Vlade Divac. And kudos to Jerry West. Jerry West saw something in a 17-year-old kid out of Lower Merion High School in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, that a lot of GMs, and I remember that draft vividly. I mean, it was one of the greatest drafts in NBA history. Allen Iverson, Hall of Famer. Ray Allen, Hall of Famer. Kobe Bryant, Hall of Famer. Hell, Marcus Camby might even get in because it's not the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Well, it's your contributions to the sport. It was a great draft. And the Celtics that night got Antoine Walker. And I thought that was a home run pick. He came from the defending national champion Kentucky Wildcats under Rick Pitino. This was a year prior to Pitino coming to Boston. And I thought this, I still think it was a good pick. You know, hindsight always be, I mean, it was better than Kerry Kittles, who Calipari took, or the Nets took when Calipari went to go overtake there in New Jersey. It was certainly better than Kerry Kittles. But there was something I didn't like about Kobe. But after a while, when somebody does something for 10 years, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then 20, and they're really great at doing it, you have to just sort of almost wave the white flag. You know, and I didn't shed any tears or lose any sleep in 2003 when he was going through that rape case in Vail, Colorado, whatsoever. I mean, I didn't lose any sleep. And I said, you know what? Yeah, interesting. Yeah, maybe that was the guy that nobody else knew. Maybe that was the other side of Kobe, you know? But he got past that. You know, and I don't condone what happened in Vail, Colorado. I mean, you know, even though charges were dropped, there was a civil suit and an undisclosed settlement. And he came out and gave an apology where he pretty much admitted what he was being charged of, but she dropped the charges and she got paid in full. And then Kobe lost his deals with Nike and other companies, maybe McDonald's or something like that. And he won, prior to that, three straight NBA titles from 2000 through 2002 with the Lakers. I got to see them 2 years in a row, once at the Staples Center and then another time at whatever it was called, American West Arena in Phoenix when they played the Suns. And Shaq leaves. I get a start in sports talk radio in May 2004. Shaq comes to Miami, brings a title 2 years later along with Dwayne Wade, and everybody started looking at Kobe that, oh, maybe the Lakers should have sided with Shaq after all instead of Kobe. But Dr. Jerry Buss decided that Kobe was the guy. And I just found out something today, which I didn't know. I was watching one of the many shows that were on TV, that there was a huge element, because Shaq was so philanthropic in and throughout Southern California, that people wanted to cause harm to Kobe. Maybe not physical harm to him, but damaging his reputation. And people didn't like that breakup that happened in July 2004. And people resented Kobe and missed Shaq, because Shaq was the alpha male and the guy who led the Lakers to those three straight titles. Kobe was just an ornament on those teams. He was good. And I believe in one series, they might have won one of the ones against either the Pacers or the Nets, that, you know, or the Sixers. Kobe might have even averaged the same amount of points as Shaq did. But I have to tell you, it's weird. For somebody who I didn't care for, I was rocked by this. And I guess seeing all the tributes and everything that, you know, people, you know, you could see Stephen A. Smith, how, you know, devastated he was and how you could tell he had been crying all day. Jerry West as well. And people who really knew him, Dwayne Wade posting on Instagram, LeBron just posted on Instagram. He put a tribute on Instagram just like within the last hour. And you knew he was going to put something together because, you know, the one thing I will tell you, and I thought I was one of the only people who knew this when I was in Charlotte, that this was supposed to be kept under wraps, that not a lot of people knew this. But Michael Jordan chose not to have any type of relationship with LeBron James. Michael loved Kobe. Kobe was, and Michael, you know, I'm actually, he put it in the statement yesterday. He's like, he was a little brother to me. I loved him. But Michael didn't like LeBron. He never did. Michael, for whatever reason, LeBron was just not, I don't know. Like he just didn't like LeBron. Okay. And that's all there, and that was it. But Kobe, I guess, apparently went to some tournament when LeBron was 15 years old and Kobe was playing in Philadelphia and the tournament was in New Jersey and he gave him his sneakers and they forged a relationship there. And it was, and they had a relationship. They won Olympic gold medals together. They were great friends. He had a huge tribute tonight on Instagram reading this, quote, "I'm not ready, but here I go. Man, I sitting here trying to write something for this post, but every time I try, I begin crying just thinking about you. Niece Gigi and the friendship bond brotherhood we had. I literally just heard your voice Sunday morning before I left to Philly to head back to L.A., didn't think for one bit in a million years that would be the last conversation we'd have. WTF! Exclamation point, exclamation point. I'm heartbroken, devastated, my brother." Crying emojis. Heartbroken emoji. "Man, I love you, big bro. My heart goes to Vanessa and the kids. I promise you'll continue your legacy, man. You mean so much to us all here, especially Laker Nation. It's my responsibility to put this S word on my back and keep it going. Please give me the strength from the heavens above and watch over me. I got us here. There's so much more I want to say, but I just can't right now because I can't get through it until we meet again, my brother. Hashtag Mamba for life. Hashtag GG for life." Heart emoji and a praying emoji. So that was LeBron James. It's already been liked by 3 million people. That literally was just posted like within the last half hour. You don't ever see that liked by 3 million people. So there's the power of LeBron James. But I think the thing was that where I started to sort of, and I covered Kobe in the 2009 NBA Finals against the Orlando Magic and watched him go in Orlando. And I'll never forget a couple things in that series. But number one, prior to game 3, Dwight Howard was clowning around. And they had won a gold medal together in 2008 on the Redeem Team in Beijing. And Dwight Howard, prior to game 3 of the NBA Finals, was clowning around. And he was just, you know, trying to get Kobe prior to the game to just like, you know, and Kobe wouldn't shake his hand, wouldn't smile, wouldn't do anything whatsoever, nothing. And I said, the Lakers are going to win tonight. And the series will not go back to L.A. And guess what happened? The Lakers won that night. I think they lost one of the games. Might have been game 4. Or no, actually, let me say this. The Lakers were up 2-0. I think they lost game 3. And then prior to game 4, Dwight Howard was trying to dap up Kobe and joke around with him. Kobe's like, nah. He just like, no. We're business now. And I said, the Lakers are going to win tonight, and the series is not going back to L.A. And it's 2-3-2, and the Lakers ended up winning that night. Derek Fisher hit a huge shot, and then the Lakers clinched in game 5. And it was, and that was the difference. You could just see, you were like, nope. See, when I think of killer instinct to win a title, the first and only three people who come to mind are Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and Kobe Bryant. That's all I think of. I know there are others, and I know others have won multiple titles. But I'm just telling you, when I think of killer instinct, I mean go into your house, in your place, and tear your heart out, and then take the title on your floor and hand it back to you afterwards and say, did you really think you were going to beat me? That was Michael, that was TB12, and that's Kobe. One of the top 5 to 6 greatest players in basketball history, in my opinion. One of the top 5 or 6. Top 10, I guess, if you, you know, and I don't want to get into who's the greatest, who's this, who's that. The one thing I will tell you, I didn't know Kobe Bryant. I got a chance to ask questions in the post-game press conference during that series in Orlando in 2009. I didn't like Kobe Bryant, but obviously as a human being, you know, your heart feels for this guy, but more so you feel for his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, who's no longer here anymore, Gianna, and his other three daughters who are still alive, along with his wife, Vanessa, and his parents, Joe Jellybean Bryant and his mother. I mean, 41 years old is, and it's way too young to go. And I'm just a few years older than Kobe, and it's way too young to go. And it sucks. And so I asked a buddy of mine in L.A. who works in the media, who I've been friends with for a long time, and I asked another friend. They don't know each other. I said, I texted with them both yesterday separately. I said, what is it like? And the first guy who grew up in Southern California and lived there his whole life, and I mean grew up through the Lakers with Magic and Kareem and then with Kobe and Shaq, he said, imagine if Tom Brady died in a plane crash. What would Boston and New England be doing and thinking right now? And I just literally sat down and I said, holy ish. And that's where it really rocked me. And I'm like, wow. That's where it resonated to me right then and there. And I'm like, yeah, Kobe was that guy to LA. He had a special connection with that city. You know, there were Laker fans who loved them, but then there were just Kobe fans who didn't like the Lakers. But Kobe had legions, and I mean legions, of followers. When LeBron came there and they painted a mural on the side of the wall and people went there and, you know, vandalized it and like put Kobe's number over it. And Kobe had to come out and publicly endorse LeBron saying, give this guy, you know, and your open arms and you know, because people here, because there was a thing in LA that when, you know, like there was sort of, it went from the Michael era to the Kobe Iverson era. Kobe and Iverson and Garnett, they came out around the same time. So, but in that era, Kobe was the best player. So people grew up and people, you know, who are 10 years younger than me, they said, you know what? Kobe was my Jordan. That was the Jordan I grew up on. Just like these days, LeBron or Steph Curry is to people in their adolescent age or their late teens or early 20s. They didn't get to see Michael Jordan play. They saw the end of Kobe, but probably not enough of the prime in his career. So Kobe was Jordan to them, and he was fantastic, you know. And personal feelings for the Lakers aside, I admired him more as he got older in his career, became a dad, and how devoted he was to his wife and his daughters. And it's just sad, man. That's a sad thing. Like, it's just one of those things. When I got the text from Brian yesterday at about literally 2:30, as I'm pulling out of here, and I was already pulled over, thankfully, because I probably would have gotten to it. I'm like, what? I was just shocked. And literally, like, When did you find out after me and Andy Hart went off the air? Was it after I walked out of the building?
Yeah, we literally said goodbye, and then Joe Cortez texted me. And then I just checked into it, and then, yeah, I sent it to you because we were talking about, you know, one of the last callers of Sunday was talking about how he's so tired of the Brady stuff. So it was like, well, here's your new topic.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a sad day. It feels, and you could just see, I've been inundated with watching all the shows yesterday and everything and all the tributes. I mean, he was a transcendent star, and this is a transcendent story. Like, if you turned on any of the news channels, Fox News, CNN, hopefully not MSNBC, of some dumb, no, we don't want to play that, some dumbass who dropped the N-word about Kobe. No, she did, and now she wants to claim it. Well, hopefully you weren't watching MSNBC, who invented the cancel culture society we live in. Well, if we're going to cancel anything, it should be your job because you should be out of there for that racial slur. But any world news, locally, nationally, whatever you turned on yesterday into today, it's a Kobe-thon. I want to see if they were going to do any tribute at the beginning of the Grammys last night. I turned on live, and Alicia Keys did something with Boyz II Men, which I thought was really well done. And it looked like it came from the heart. But the only thing I can compare it to, and I'll come back on the other side, personally speaking of somebody who died, but somebody who actually died in the prime of his career, and I was down in this area when it happened, I'll get that to you next. If you want to chime in on Kobe Bryant, and hey, say what you want, say what you will about him. And I'm sure people here, listen, of all the sympathy that his wife and family will get, you know, I'm sure Boston is not exactly the most broken up over Kobe Bryant dying just because, you know, I mean, listen, you when you bleed Celtic green and white, like you know, it just, you go to your grave with it. But I think today, just at least as a human being, you have to at least admit one thing. I mean, you know, he was the embodiment of killer instinct. And like I said, when I think of the word, only three people come to mind: Jordan, Brady, and Kobe. That is it. And with all due respect to Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or Ovechkin or, I mean, you name it. I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, whomever, with all due respect to any and all of those guys, I don't think of anybody more than with killer instinct than those three guys. Those three guys would run, and I mean this figuratively speaking, would run over their own mother if it meant winning another ring. They didn't care. When it came down to winning chips, they were the best at doing it. They were. And it was shocking, to say the least. So if you want to call in, talk about Kobe Bryant, 617-779-7937. Like, I don't even want to read this text, but I'm going to read it because you've got to be kidding me. Regarding killer instinct, you have to include Lance. He loved to win, but he hated to lose. That's what all the talking heads are missing. That's the common link. They all hate to lose. Lance who? Armstrong? You mean the guy that was, like, hopped up on performance-enhancing drugs? Okay, Let me I'll throw him in there too. That's a good text. You're right. I can't discount Larry Legend. You're right. Four guys. Those are the four guys that I think of more than anything for killer instinct: Jordan, Brady, Bird, Kobe. You're right. Yep, you're right. There's no doubt about it. Larry Legend, there's nothing he wouldn't do to win a title. Nothing. Nothing. He had it. And it was just like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care if I have to play psychological warfare. I'm going to get inside your head, and then I'm going to beat your ass. And I'm going to tell you afterwards how you like me now. Those four guys, you're right. Definitely, you can include a killer instinct list. Like, LeBron, not even close on that list. Nowhere even close. LeBron's the guy who threw up a brick, and then Bosch got the rebound and kicked it out to Ray Allen. LeBron's the guy who defers. He's not willing to take the shot. So they're not even up in that. But that's a whole other discussion. But I just want to get your thoughts and your initial reaction when Kobe died. I'll admit, I was floored. I was floored. Because he just seemed invincible to me. He was one of those guys that, like I said, I remember everything about him when he was in high school. He was the next one after KG. It was KG, Kobe, Jermaine O'Neal, following year, Tracy McGrady. Those were the guys that they opened up the floodgates, but KG and Kobe were the ones that really, and then LeBron too as well. Yeah, but perhaps you didn't know this. Michael Jordan to this day does not have a relationship with LeBron James. Never did. Does not like LeBron James. I knew that. I thought it was only one of the chosen few that got a chance to cover the Bobcats / Hornets in Charlotte that actually knew that. I didn't think many people knew that, but someone mentioned it. And again, all this stuff that you've heard. But Michael didn't like LeBron. Didn't like him at all. He liked Kobe, though. He liked him. And you know what's weird? Celtics could have had him, but Antoine Walker was, at that time, he was the better pick. He was the better pick. And I don't think that ML Carr or whoever was in charge at that point had the cachet to take a kid out of high school that was unproven. Antoine Walker was clearly the better player, and so I don't have a problem, hindsight being 2020. Guys, we got one producer in tonight. If you're going to call in, don't call in and hang up. Call in and hold, okay? Because that's just, I mean, like, literally, you know, 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. Kobe Bryant, your thoughts on all that? Again, people are texting in Tiger Woods, Dale Earnhardt. Tiger, yes. But again, let me state for the record, golfers and NASCAR drivers, they're not athletes. They're not athletes. This one, in a moment, this was actually a funny one. Hey, you know what? Sometimes laughter is the best medicine. OJ had the killer instinct. I got to tell you, you know what? You actually made me laugh. And something when you're delivering sort of a sports talk eulogy to somebody, that actually made me. Yeah, OJ, okay, the new list. Killer instinct. Jordan, Brady, Bird, Kobe, and OJ. OJ for probably a different reason, but he certainly had the killer instinct. Oh, man. All right, we'll get to that. I don't mean to laugh, but that text just completely broke me up. The number is 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly everything is come to life.
Now, people don't understand how much athlete like Kobe or Kareem or Shaq or Magic, how much they really hold this city together. You know, this city has a lot of fault lines.
Right.
Not only in the ground, but with the people.
Yep.
And what brings us together is the love for our teams, our Lakers, Dodgers, Chargers, all the teams that's here hold this city together because it gives us something, you know, to unite behind. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's gang banging, it's economic differences, it's racial differences, and our teams hold us together. So, you know, Kobe is some of the glue that holds LA together.
I am back. Edge is back. Life is good. Obviously, the news that has rocked the entire, not sports world, the entire world, the death of Kobe Bryant at the age of 41. You want to chime in? I'd like to get your thoughts on that. The number is 617-779-7937. You know, obviously the Celtics, we saw him in that 08 finals quit in game six. He basically quit, or the Celtics made him quit. But then he came back the following year against the Magic and knocked them out. Then 2 years later, beat the Celtics in a seven-game series. Celtics had a 13-point lead in that game, but they didn't have Kendrick Perkins, who was out. And Kobe in that game had like 15 rebounds. And he was an enigmatic individual. And he was a guy who came in the league, and obviously people resented him because, you know, it was this kid straight out of high school, 17 years old, 18, you know, by the time he started playing. And to see what happened, I mean, it's really just sad, tragic, and it goes to show you, man, and I'm not going to give you some sort of soliloquy on life here, but this whole thing, it's not a video game. You can't just hit the reset button. When it's over, it's a wrap. It's done. That's it. You don't get to start over. And the one thing, you can say what you want, as much as you hate tragedy, especially unexpected tragedy like this one. All right. The one thing that you can obviously count on, death and cancer, they're not racist. They'll take anyone, anytime. And that's just proof right then and there. Like they it just doesn't care. It's an equal opportunity killer. It really is. And we found that out with a guy like Kobe Bryant. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. Bob in North Attleboro. What's up, Bob?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Bob. What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that I grew up, I'm 54 years old. I grew up with Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Closest thing I ever seen came to Michael Jordan was Kobe Bryant.
Right. Right. Exactly. I know, but what was your, like, overall, like, what was your thoughts of him and then his death?
I was shocked, disappointed. 7-year-old son, my daughter that...
No, he didn't have any sons. He just had daughters.
Right. 7-year, 7-month-old daughter that never grew up.
7-month-old, yeah.
Grow up.
I know.
Grow up, never even to know. What really got to my head was when I watched a Jimmy Kimmel preview talking about his daughter and how he talked about how he'd go to stadiums and everybody would say to him, "Oh, you got to have a boy to carry on your
legacy.
Yeah. And his daughter would be standing next to him and look at and say, "Yeah, well, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that."
Yeah.
That really hit my heart.
I know. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, the one thing about sports, we all have our perceptions of people. We all have just sort of these preconceived notions of how people are. And then when you sort of see like that, you know, he's a human being too. You know, he was a human being who had to go through unfortunate tragedy. And you would never think like, you know, before yesterday at 2:30 p.m., this is something that like just doesn't happen. And I'll go you one further. And I know we're only 3 weeks into a new year and a new decade. I'll pretty much put this story right now up against any story that's going to happen over the course of the next 9 years, 11 months, and a week. This will be the biggest, if not the biggest story of the 2020s entire decade, is Kobe Bryant dying tragically. You'll see. Like you're not going to have a bigger story than this. 617-779-7937. Steve's up next in a car. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good evening.
Hey.
Yeah, when I saw the news yesterday, I sat down, I pulled up my iPad, and I just 10 minutes, just stunned, like, didn't want to believe it was real.
Nobody did. Nobody.
And I think, the comparison you said your L.A. friend made of Tom Brady down, I could only imagine. I hate to even think of that.
That's what he
really
said.
Wasn't a comparison, what it meant for a whole region, of sports fans.
Right. He's saying that's what it would be like out in New England. That if something like that happened, it would be like that in New England. And I'm like, wow.
But, growing up, Celtics fan, green teamer and whatnot, but it was funny playing pickup basketball. Now, how many times people would, just clowning around, put up ridiculous shots and just yell Kobe. And, you get a laugh at it at the time, but you think how many guys that you watch play professional sports that people want to model their games after and, inspired by someone to just play that way, just fun and loose, but, hard at the same time and just enjoy the game. I that's something I was thinking of yesterday.
Yeah, listen, he was the one thing about him is that, I guess he had some pretty close relationships with, people in the media. I didn't realize Jim Rome mentioned this on his show today that Jim Rome and him were, Jim Rome won't claim that they were friends, but they were friendly. And Kobe would just text him and say, "Javi's," and Jim like, "Yeah, they meet at this place, this great Mexican restaurant out in L.A. called Javier's in Newport Beach, and they just go out and meet there." And so he had relationships, Michael Wilbon, Stephen A. Smith. And so and here's the story that I wanted to tell, what I was teasing you to sort of give an anecdotal story in my way. So my Kobe, in terms of what I had to go through, was Sean Taylor. And I was down in Miami when Sean Taylor was murdered on Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend, 2007. It happened the night that the Patriots played. The Patriots' undefeated record was still on the line. The Patriots had a home game against A.J. Feely and the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Patriots almost lost that game at home. But they came back and won. But it was a close game, closer than it should have been. And that night, Sean Taylor was shot in the leg in his own home. He wasn't supposed to be there, but his coach at the time, Joe Gibbs, Sean was hurt. So the Buccaneers that weekend were playing in Tampa against, excuse me, the Redskins were playing that weekend in Tampa against the Bucs, and he asked Joe Gibbs, hey, Joe, coach, I want to go back home and see my baby daughter. So Joe Gibbs let him go back down. These people came in to rob his place. They were friends of the guy who was dating Sean's sister, and they thought no one was going to be there, but they were packing. And when they shot Sean, they shot him in the leg. And they figured that, you know, hey, he'll get over it, it'll be fine. Well, he ended up bleeding out, unfortunately. We all thought he was going to be good. I remember the night after we went to bed on Monday night, and we all thought he was going to be good down in Miami. And I'll never forget this. I ended up waking up to a text from the producer of Mike and Mike at the time. He said, and I'll never forget it. Hey, Mark, I'm sorry for your loss and sorry to hear about the death of your friend, Sean Taylor. I knew Sean Taylor. I went to school with Sean Taylor at Miami, and it was amazing. I was at his viewing. I went to his funeral. Roger Goodell was there. Daniel Snyder flew the whole Redskins team down there. OJ's kids were there because they went to school with Sean Taylor at Gulliver Prep. And that to me, and I remember how the NFL and the Washington Redskins and how he was honored and how much of a loss that was. Even the Giants wore his number on the back of their helmets, 21. And I'll never forget that. So that was my, and it was so tough. And I wanted to get out of Miami so bad, I ended up moving out of there about 4 months later. I had to get out of Miami. Finally, I was just like, it's time for me to go. That was sort of the end all be all. I'm like, I'll never live here again. I didn't have any bad, something that threatened my life or anything like that. I just felt as though, hey, there are signs in life. This is a sign. This is a sign. And I want to just make a clarification, because a lot of you people out there, when you hear something, you hear what you want to hear instead of listening. When I said that this story, I'm saying in terms of rocking an entire world, this story, I believe, will end up being one of the biggest, if not the biggest story of this decade. That's how huge of a transformative, transcendent individual that Kobe Bean Bryant was. This, if Jerry West died, or Pat Riley, you'd be like, okay, those guys weren't exactly spring chickens, but you don't expect someone who's only a few years removed from retiring, who looked great, has four kids, a daughter, already won an Oscar, an Academy Award for his thing, Dear Basketball. You just don't expect something like this to happen. But by the way, you know what? When you bring this up on the air and some people text in, it's like, you know what? You want to text in Sean Taylor? No, okay. I went to school with him. I knew him very well. I was one of the only people that he actually, and you know what? You're blocked. So the one who just put that on the text line, you're blocked. So you can feel free to text in on another fake number, but you won't be texting anymore on your 978 number, you loser. All right, we'll continue to take your call, 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.